So if you were following along with the readings from the 8 o'clock service this morning at Holy Trinity, you've been thrown off a little bit. There have been a couple of changes. Just to let you know, this is one of the quirks of a liturgical church. August 6th, if I'm doing my math right, that should be tomorrow, is the feast day of the Transfiguration of our Lord. This is one of the principal feasts of the church. Now, when we have a Eucharist service on the evening before a major feast like that, then we celebrate that feast as the eve of the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Hence the white vestments and altar dressings, and hence the different set of readings. And that's why we're talking about the Transfiguration tonight. It is a principal feast of the church, so it's probably a good thing for us to take a little time with that. Toward that end, I'll tell you that for the past week or so, I have been slogging through the unenviable task of cleaning out old boxes of papers and junk, stuff, if you will, that I've been holding on to. Well, I suppose hoarding is a better word. More than 25 years. Old high school projects. Whole notebooks full of information from college courses. I guess I'm still worried about one more test. Letters from people I can barely remember now. Even letters that I wrote but never managed to mail. Newspaper clippings, photographs. I gotta tell you, looking through these artifacts from various times in my life, it's hard to shake the feeling that I'm looking at the leftovers of other people. I find myself wondering, how many lives have I lived so far? How many does it take before I am fully who I'm supposed to be? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to answer that question tonight. But it does lead to another question. Am I the person now that I'm supposed to be? Is this really who I am? Now, my wife, of course, is eminently more practical than I am. She doesn't get bogged down like this. If you haven't looked at it in 20 years, why do you have it? Toss it. I'm trying to learn from her wisdom. But the point is not that I'm a pack rat. I am, but that's not the point. The point is that on a personal level, I've been thinking a lot lately about three related words. Transition, transformation, and you guessed it, transfiguration. Pretty appropriate for this evening, huh? Okay, making sure you're coming with me. Transition, transformation, and transfiguration. Well, you know, almost any kind of change requires some sort of transition. Just moving to a new town or a new state, taking a new job with a new set of responsibilities. These are transitions. They're differences. A college student is different from a high school student. A manager is different from a new hire. Married is different than single. Husband or wife is different from father or mother. Even just the passage of time. 21 is different than 15. And I can tell you 47 is different than 21. And some of you are nodding your heads, and so on. These are all transitions, and they're meaningful ones. They're important ones. But a transition is essentially just a change in location or a change of circumstances. Doesn't mean it's not important, but that's the nature of it. Transformation, on the other hand, is something more profound. Transformation is deeper than a change in place or a shift in circumstances. To put it in terms of what we can see in the natural world around us, a species of bird that flies south for the winter, well, that's a transition. But a caterpillar that spins a cocoon around itself, becomes a chrysalis, and then emerges from that chrysalis as a moth or a butterfly, That's transformation. What emerges is fundamentally different from what went in. And yet somehow, in some mysterious way, it's the same creature. The same creature remade, or better yet, made anew. Well, that dovetails nicely with our Christian faith tradition, doesn't it? When we speak of repentance or metanoia, we do not mean a mere transition from one set of circumstances to another. We mean a turning, a change of direction and purpose and understanding so profound that the person who undergoes such a turning is ever after fundamentally different, even though he or she is somehow still the same person. To repent, which is the message at the heart of the gospel, to repent means to be made anew, to embark on a new way of life, a new way of being in the world. That's what happened to Saul on the highway heading to Damascus. A turning so profound that after he had fully understood what had happened to him, he ceased to be Saul and became Paul. That's what our sacrament of holy baptism embodies. We who are baptized into the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are profoundly, fundamentally remade by God through that sacrament into new creatures. We are still ourselves, but are forever after changed. Now that's transformation. Can I get an amen? It's worth a shot. Transfiguration, though, is something else altogether. In today's gospel account of the transfiguration of our Lord, Luke tells us clearly that while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. The appearance of his face changed. Just to be sure, I checked about half a dozen different translations, and they all agreed on that detail. So then I checked the original Greek, too, just to be sure. Yep, it was the appearance of Jesus' face that changed. Jesus himself did not change. That's the crux of transfiguration. Unlike transition or transformation, someone who is transfigured is not changed. Not changed. Revealed. Transfiguration is not about change so much as it is about truth. Truth, for a brief moment, breaks through the outward appearances and misperceptions and illusions of our lives, breaks through all our human short-sightedness. And Peter and John and James, through them we also, see that this is who Jesus Christ is what Jesus is. And then they come to understand that this is who and what Jesus has always been, the whole time that he's been with them. Now, in case there were any doubt that this is who Jesus has been from the very beginning, a mysterious cloud overshadows them, and a voice from the cloud proclaims, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." You can't help but hear the echo of Jesus' baptism at the very beginning. That is what gives this moment in the gospel story its power. That is why the transfiguration of our Lord is commemorated as a principal feast of the church. This is who Jesus always was, always is, always will be. Now, much has been made of the fact that Jesus does not remain in this transfigured state for very long. All too soon, the clear vision fades, The cloud is gone, and Jesus appears to his disciples exactly as he did before this experience. Much has also been made of the fact that Peter, not knowing what he said, at first wanted to freeze this moment in time, to stay here on the mountain, to make shrines to Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Well, I understand that. Remember, I'm the guy who's holding on to artifacts from high school and college memories from 30 years ago. I understand that deep urge to cling to physical objects for fear of losing the memory, for fear of never again being able to get back to that special, that sacred moment. But here's the thing. That moment is always with us. The transfigured Christ Jesus is always with us. The spiritual challenge and the discipline of our faith is to remember that. It's easy to say, "Jesus, we adore you and will follow you wherever you lead," when he stands before us revealed in the fullness of divine glory, in raiment white and glistening, as the collect says this evening. It's something else entirely to hold on to that glory, that beauty, that light in the dark and broken places of our lives. Those times when we're not having a mountaintop experience. We remember that in between the transfiguration and the resurrection comes the crucifixion. Those are the times that we have to work to remember that Jesus is who he says he is and who we know him to be. And always has been. Always will be. Our faith is a paradox because it is a revealed mystery. We follow a Lord who has died, is risen, and will come again. Let us never forget that.